Everybody say with me, God still answers.
God still answers.
Now, what do we do when we're in a crisis? Who do we turn to for help? How do we respond when help is promised but does not come when or how we expect it to arrive? What do we do when we are at the bottom of life? What do we do? Because all of us respond differently in those moments. We have the church answer, and we have the real life answer. But what do? When we're at the end, where do we go? Who do we turn to? I love this story we're going to look at in John chapter 4. Right after Jesus goes in to minister to the whole community in Samaria, he leaves there. He's doing his ministry, and he has a guest that just shows up. Somebody he's never met before. Somebody with a little bit of clout, a little bit of experience, a little bit of executive experience of some sort, maybe a little bit of money. He seeks out Jesus, and they have a little conversation, and I love what happens here as we explore it, because it reveals this second significant sign of Jesus' ministry and who he is. Because the first one we had at a wedding, when he turns water into wine, the second one is really significant. We'll explore that in a moment, where Jesus really reveals something significant about who he is. And to really get it into the people of this is more than just a man or even more than a prophet of old coming anew again, being used by God. This guy is significant. So I just love everything about this passage. John chapter 4, verse 45 starts like this. When he, Jesus, arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. That's always fun. Isn't it fun to go into a room and everybody welcomes you? It's a lot better than walking into the room and everybody's like, oh. I had a boss once, when he walked in the room, it wasn't like, yay! It was like, get to work. We like it when everybody welcomes us. And I mean, it probably felt good for the team. They're following Jesus. And all of a sudden, the crowds are growing. Things are getting a little bit bigger. And now people are welcoming them and everything. And it's not always going to be that way with Jesus' ministry. But early on, they're welcoming him. And then it goes to this. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had also been there. They'd all been at the feast. What all kind of things did Jesus do at the feast? Well, one of the things he did, he walked into the room, and he's just like, hey, let's just turn the town over and chase everybody out of the temple and make a big scene of things. And then all the miracles and everything else that he's doing. I mean, they were there. Now they're back home. He's here. Yes, it's going to be good. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. So he's right back at where everything started, taking a little trip. Now he's back. The audience is growing as Jesus returns to Galilee and his short visit in Samaria. I'm sure the word is spreading everywhere. Jesus did. He was down in Samaria, and all these Samaritans are like now following him. And I mean, it's like everybody's coming to see what's going on. They wanted to hear what he was teaching, but they also wanted to see what he was going to do. They're there for the show. They'd heard about the miracle at the wedding because they're back in Cana. They've heard about that. That had to go everywhere. And then they knew what he did at the temple. They knew about lives that are being transformed and changed. Hey, give me the show. Now, here's the thing we know about Jesus. He really sees our hearts and our motives. Now, unfortunately, we're not as good at that. Because when people come in, they're like, you're awesome. I love you. You're the best. We're like, thanks, I am. Thanks. We're like, wait a minute. No, son, you're not doing that. Sometimes we miss what is going on, but Jesus sees right to the heart. And it continues in John chapter 4, verse 46. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. I mean, notice that. He went to Jesus. Where do you go when you're in trouble? Where do you go when you're in crisis? Where do you go? Verse his son's close to death. His son's about to die. I mean, if one of my children were close to death, I would be doing absolutely, positively everything I could to get them help. So watch this. We reveal this part of how Jesus just sees the heart. Verse 48, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Ow. But aren't we like that? We're like, Jesus, I need you to work here, but, you know, just to show me that you're going to work there, because I know that's really big, can you show me a little sign over here? Can you do something a little over here? Like, God, if you want me to go share my faith with my coworker or my friend or my neighbor or whoever, can you, like, you know, make my phone ring right now and have them invite me over? God, if you wanted to, you notice how we do that a lot of times. We God, give me this or this. And here's the man, he's just like, okay, Jesus, I hear what you're saying. I realize that. But he's just like, sir, come down before my child dies. Thank you for the sermonette. My kid needs help. Please come help. I mean, the situation is bleak. A man of wealth and influence has a dying son. He's undoubtedly tried every means available to help his boy, but nothing has worked. So he's an unbeliever, most likely not a God follower at all, probably not really a religious man unless he's just kind of following along with the culture and everything else just to kind of fit in and blend in for the political gain, most likely, out of everything. But he's probably tried absolutely everything at his means and disposal. He travels 17 miles to find Jesus. Here he is. He's a man of means. He's a man of influence. He's a man of esteem in the culture. And that didn't keep him from trouble. Hey, we all face trouble. Even when we're doing right and living right and everything else, we still face troubles. But the man needed help and was willing to do what was necessary to get help. He didn't really casually walk up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you got a little time, yo? Can you, like, come down and take care of my son? He didn't just casually ask. It wasn't just kind of like a passing little request. It was really begging Jesus to intervene. Sir, come down before my child dies. You have to come. You have to act. You have to move. The time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. I've already traveled 17 miles. It's taking me. It's not like jumping in the car and it's like, for me, you know, it's, you know, 40, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. My son's starting to drive now. So it's, you know, terror of 17 minutes as he drives a little bit at times. But it's, you know, it's not like that. It's like you get on and you just start walking 17 miles. And at some point you get tired. So you rest and then you get back up. And maybe you have to overnight somewhere. It's an event to travel. And he's probably on a business trip. So he's got his whole crew with him. So he's got a lot of people he's got to pay attention as he's looking for Jesus. Then it's not like Jesus has that little, you know, little thing on his smartphone where everybody can track where he is. He has to actually come into that area and then track where Jesus is down. So there's no one telling how much time he's spending. So as that time's going on, his child is laying there sick and dying. And the only way he has any information is if he sends somebody and says, run your tail off and get all the way back there, find out what's going on, and run all the way back here. Basically do almost a marathon. So it's like all this time, he doesn't have any details. So it's getting to that point, it's like, hey, Jesus, can you help? It's not that. It's, Jesus, help! Hey, as you guys have said numerous times in here already this morning, Jesus is always the right place to go for help. And really, we see something really here about ministry to people that is really important. One of the most effective times for us to minister to people and share Jesus with them is when they're going through transitions, tests, or turmoils. People are more open when they're at a life transition point. They're retiring. They're going to college. They're switching communities. They're having children. These big moments where there's transition. Suddenly, there's a lot of questions going on. Or facing a big test, a job layoff, a relationship failure, work frustration. Something is just testing them. Something's crushing them. They're more open. They start asking more questions. Or they're experiencing a difficult challenge, health issues, aging parents, and so on. These things that are happening in their lives that are weighing on them make them more open. When they're at the end of themselves, they're more likely to be open and honest about what is going on while also being receptive to outside help. So it's really important that we just pay attention to what's going on with them and see. And it's just a matter of listening. See, like I told you at the beginning, when all these, my coworkers, four of them, just pull me up front, you know, and they start asking questions, I'm like, you're going to have to give me more detail. I asked a few questions and then got them talking because I had to hear what are the real questions that they're asking. And then I had to listen to that, and then I had to sit there and I had to gauge. I'm like, okay, I know all four of those individuals, and I know all four of their different backgrounds, and I know all four of the different types of conversations that I've had with them. And so now, Holy Spirit, you got to help me to say just the right words to navigate right through this, so that a foundation can be laid for future conversations. And so, but it was a matter of sitting there listening and finding out what is really going on. What's their real need? And if we'll do that, we'll more effectively minister to people. So here's the guy, and he's just like, Jesus, please come help little Bobby. He needs help. And then Jesus immediately replies, verse 50, you may go, your son will live. And then I love this part. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Yes, amen. God says it. I believe it. Issue settled. God says it. I believe it. Issue settled. In fact, let's just say that. God says it. I believe it. Issue settled. God says it. I believe it. Issue settled. I mean, the man trusted Jesus without requiring or requesting a sign at all. He's just like, Jesus said it. I believe it. Issue settled. Jesus said, my son's okay. Okay. I traveled all this way. I made sure I could track where Jesus down. I got up to Jesus. I told Jesus, this is exactly what I need. Jesus responds to me. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Walks on as if it's taken care of. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. The man took Jesus at his word. I mean, the man was a royal official, so he was operating with some authority, speaking to the ultimate authority. As a person that is used to authority, he knew that if Jesus said it was going to happen, then it was a done deal. No need to continue pushing for help. It was taken care of. Jesus said it. I believe it. Issue settled. Jesus said it. He'll take care of it. Issue settled. The man had no proof other than Jesus' word that the boy would be okay. But the man trusted what Jesus said was true. Quality faith is seen here in an unbeliever. Somebody that's not a follower of Christ. Showing real faith. Faith that trusted Jesus without requiring proof or a test. I mean, sometimes we're like, okay, Jesus, if you're in this, if you're with me, can you please do this, this, or this to show me? I need that. And here it is. Jesus said it. I believe it. Issue settled. Amen. Our culture defines faith as a deep, sincere religious belief. Now, the word used for faith in the original biblical language is P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, which refers to both intellectual belief and relational trust or commitment. Belief and trust are intertwined in the way the Bible describes faith. In fact, the word we translate believe is pisteo, which also means to believe and to trust. To the original believers would have quickly connected the two words that were used, pistis with pisteo, and with the idea of trust. So to have biblical faith in God means that I believe God and I trust God.
Amen.
I believe God and I trust God. God says it. I believe it. Issue settled. Now, here we have the Jesus factor at play next, which is really good. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. I mean, get this. It's the next day. The guy, Jesus said it, I believe it, issue settled, going on with my business. Heads off. Now his servants have to track him down. It's like, where's the boss? Where'd he go? He was going to be here in Cana. Now he's on doing his own thing. So they chase him down. They're like, huh, boss, huh, gotta quit this. Bobby's okay. Well, what time did things change? Yesterday at 7th hour. It's like, whoa. The exact same moment I had that conversation with Jesus. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had to send to him, your son will live. So he and his whole his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. I mean, here's the Jesus factor. One times Jesus equals many. One times Jesus equals many. One times Jesus equals many. I mean, we're seeing this as we look at the book of John, as he unfolds how one times Jesus equals many. And that's why if we'll get people to meet Jesus, it doesn't just change their lives. It begins to change their relationships around them. We begin to impact a whole family. And then as we impact a whole family, we begin to impact a whole neighborhood. As we impact a whole neighborhood, we begin to impact a whole community. As we begin to impact a whole community, we begin to impact a whole county. As we impact a whole county, we begin to impact a whole region. And onward and onward and onward. One times Jesus equals many. One distant miracle connected with the trusting faith of one man led to his whole household believing in Jesus. A beloved son gains many years to live because he is healed of a sickness. A household of family and servants gain eternal life. The supernatural is seen here. Healing is supernatural. A little sick boy is bouncing up and down, running around. I bet he ran and gave his dad a gigantic hug. And if they played ball back then, I bet his dad was out there playing ball with him, loving on him, thinking, I didn't have you, but now I have you. And better yet, we have God also in our lives. Our lives are changed. So they have that. But there's another supernatural thing seen here that we don't always view as supernatural, but is just as supernatural, because when an individual or a family is saved, it's also supernatural. Their lives were transformed and changed. That's supernatural. So my prayer, my heart for us is that we just experience all the supernatural that God's got to pour out on us and through us. Be it God works in us and there's the miraculous that happens, or it's God just saves people and changes people and transforms lives. Now everything Jesus does has a purpose. This was the second miraculous sign, the second big thing that happened. Now the first one was water to wine. And the reminder of that is that God is not limited by time or physics. And the challenge of that is do whatever Jesus tells you. Yes, and the result of that, of just doing what Jesus tells you, the result of that first sign was this in John 2:11. It said, this is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. When they saw the importance of just doing whatever Jesus is telling you, when they saw that Jesus was not limited by time and physics, when they realized what Jesus could do, it caused them to put their faith in him. Now, this second sign is an instantaneous healing over a distance. The reminder of that sign is that God is not limited by distance or proximity. I mean, Jesus healed some child that he didn't even know the address of the kid. Just happened over time, over distance. Jesus didn't have to run there and touch him and pray over him or anything else. Jesus could just pray for him. I mean, it's such an encouraging thing for us to realize that we can pray for people all the way around the other side of the world. We might not ever meet them. We might never be able to touch them, do anything, but we can pray for them, and the God of heaven can work significantly in their lives. But the challenge of that, really that second sign, is to take Jesus at his word. Jesus says it's, I believe it, issue settled. And then the result of that second sign was, so he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. I mean, here it is. Jesus has a sign that he shows, something significant that he does, and it's for a purpose. Yes. Lives changed. Amen. Everything Jesus does is for a reason. God will use your situation, no matter how bleak it might feel at this moment, for his glory. Go to Jesus for help. Trust him to do what he promises to do. Point people toward Jesus when they're facing difficult moments. Don't stop praying to and trusting in Jesus. The answer will come. Amen. Celebrate what God is doing in lives. Amen. Take Jesus at his word. God says it. I believe it. Issue settled. God says it. I believe it. That settles it. God says it. I believe it. It's taken care of. God says it. I believe it. No worrying anymore. No matter what crisis you face, take it to Jesus. Now use wisdom and get help from the right places and quit burdening the wrong people. Trust God with your mess. And remember, God still answers. God still answers. This guy had no idea what was going to happen when he traveled to track down Jesus. However many days it took to get there, however much time it took to track him down, he didn't know. He had a lot of hope. He had a lot of hope that Jesus would get to do something. There had to be some underlying faith that was there, because he believed Jesus when Jesus just said it. So there was something that was building as he was hearing stories, as he was doing what he could to track down Jesus. But he went. He didn't know how things were going to happen. He didn't know what was going to take place. But God answered. God still answers. It might not happen when you want or how you thought, but don't give up. Amen. Keep taking your needs and your concerns to God. Yes. Keep taking them there. Keep praying him. Keep crying out. Keep seeking him. Keep trusting him. Keep holding to him. Keep it. And then when God speaks, listen. Amen. Trust him. And let it be settled. Amen. Jesus said it. I believe it. It's taken care of. Amen. Stand with me a moment. We're going to close this morning with one more song today. And I'd like you to really get it into your hearts and mind. When Jesus says it, I believe it. Issue settled. But before we get to that point, we have to get to the point where we're just like, Jesus, here's the mess. And it might be you have to track Jesus down. It might be that you're spending a lot of time praying. And it might be, because we've spent a lot of time over the last couple months on this whole idea, that there are some things that you pray today that you're going to be praying tomorrow, that you might be praying a week from now. And there's some things you've been praying now for weeks that became months, that became years, that unfortunately and frustratingly have become decades. But just because you're crying out doesn't mean God's not at work. We just don't see everything and understand everything. So even though it might be something you're just praying this week, or it might be something you've been praying for months, or it might be something you've been praying for years, or it might even be something you've been praying for decades, remember, God still answers. And God is still at work. And at some point, in some way, God will speak. In some way, at some time, the issue will be dealt with. So trust God.